good.
Amen. I feel like I've been in a marathon this week.
Amen.
Amen.
Good to have you.
That kid needs some piano lessons now.
Poor fella.
I didn't know the piano had that many keys on it. Boy, I'll tell you, we thoroughly enjoy coming here. Your pastor is so kind. And to visit with all of you folks, we're glad for your presence. You've come to the right place. And keep coming. Keep coming. Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning service, evening service. Just keep coming. And you'll be so glad you did. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. My. It was a joy to kneel by his side when he prayed. It was a joy to hear him preach. He had one sermon, let her rip. And Dr. Charles Frederick Weigel, a great songwriter, God used him. He wrote my favorite song. And we loved Dr. Charles Weigel. We were in school there, and then he passed away after we left, but at the age of 97 he was. And so we thank God for the memories of Dr. Charles Frederick Weigel. And to hear him preach was a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Thank you for singing that song. All of his songs reach your heart. They just touch your heart completely. And so we're glad for that. When I went to high school, they were calling our names. And one class I went to, and they say, you write your name on this card. And I wrote my name on the card, Bobby Brown. And this teacher says, who is this Robert Brown? And I'd never been called Robert before in my life. I didn't know what he was talking about. I knew my name was Brown, but I didn't go by Robert. Nobody ever called me Robert. And he said, who is this Bobby Brown? I raised my hand. He said, that's not your name. I said, well, that's what people call me. I don't know any difference. I was just 16 years old. You don't know much when you see. You think you know everything, but you're just a bunch of little dummies is all we were at that time. And I said, that's not my name. He said, it is too. Your name is Robert. I said, no, sir. It's Robert. Bobby is a nickname. It's a nickname. A girl's name. It's not your name. And boy, I thought, well, all these years, I'm 16 years of age. My name's been Bobby ever since I was born, as far as I can remember back. And I went over to the courthouse. It's about a block and a half from Central High School. And I said, have you got my birth record? And she said, well, what year were you born? I said, 34. And she got a book out just about that big before it was open. I mean, before it was open. And I'd never seen a book that big in my life. And so she put it out on the counter there. And she said, now, when were you born? I said, January 25th, 1934. By the way, write that down. And I said, January 25th, 1934. And she looked and she put her finger down. She said, there you are right there. She turned the book around. And there it was, just as plain as the nose on your face. B-O-B-B-I-E. You weren't too far off, Pastor. That's what they put down on my birth records. I said, ma'am, that's a girl's spelling. And I said, my name is spelt with a Y. She said, you want a Y? I said, yes, ma'am. She turned the book around, and she took a black pen, same kind that they put the records in, and just as pretty as you please, she made a Y out of that I-E. The front of the Y was the I and the loop in the E, and you couldn't tell the difference. She said, is that the way you want it? I said, yes, ma'am, thank you. I thought she was going to tell me, now you're going to have to see a lawyer and all that stuff and get that. That's what I feared that. So you have to check a record, just spelled with a Y.
My middle name was Claire. C-L-A-I-R-E.
Well, I'd get rid of that
and
one.
My dad all thought that his name was, his felt like that, but when he went to the record, he found it was just C-L-A-I-R. So on my 16th birthday, my daddy went to court to have my name changed to Claire, C-L-A-I-R.
You know, I thought I was going to have to go to court.
My dad did.
And she just made the prettiest Y of that IE you ever saw in your life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm legal and you're not.
That's all right. Legal, illegal. I know. I know where I'm going. Oh, yeah, that's good. We got something in common. That's right. Okay. Well, I've got a little guy down here that is going to say a word or two. If I can get him out from under here. Yeah, that's right. You come on out.
Well, look here what I done found.
And what have you done found?
A whole raft of happy people.
A whole raft of happy people.
I sure have. I sure have found a whole raft of happy people. Hold me up there. Wait, please. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Aren't you glad I don't weigh any more than I do?
Now, what are you doing here?
I came to sing.
Okay.
And salute. And so who are you going to salute? Well, I'll sing my salute. Okay. Off we go into the wildoo yonder, flying high into the sky. Let your witness go rolling along. Over a hill, over a dale, as we hit the gospel trail, let your witness go rolling along. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, let your witness go rolling along. Anchors away, my boys, anchors away, let your witness go rolling along. Yeah. Okay.
Fred Brown was a dear event. We talked about some Browns that you knew, and I mentioned Fred Brown. He had a stroke and did not speak for 3 months until the Lord took him home. He did not open his eyes for 3 months. People would go in the room and they'd say, "How's your father? Is he doing all right?" They'd ask his daughter. She was there. And then our daughter, Lois, was named after Lois Donella Brown. And so we called our Mrs. Fred Brown, her name was Donella, so we called our daughter Donella too. That was her middle name because we loved the Browns and so much. And Dr. Fred was he and I would go out and play golf together, and we'd go eat chicken livers and drink buttermilk and amen, on the buttermilk part or the livers. And so, yeah. And so we just had a good time. I mean, we'd be just like brothers. And every time we'd be home at the same time, we'd just get together and just have a ball. And he had a stroke. Didn't open his eyes for 3 months. He opened his eyes in heaven. But he didn't open his eyes on this earth for 3 months. And I'd go see him in the hospital. And I'd always try to say something like, "You got to get up out of this bed and eat those chicken livers and drink that buttermilk with me." And every time we'd go out to a little restaurant out by our house, he said, "I didn't know there's another restaurant like that in the United States of America." And we just chummed it up. We just had a great time together. And I heard a joke. And he never opened his eyes. Fred Brown never opened his eyes from the moment he had that stroke. Kept them closed. He'd twitch them, and you could tell that he was alive and well and listening, but he didn't open his eyes. I don't know if the stroke affected that part of his body or what it was. And so I went in one day, and he was there, and I patted him on the shoulder and I said, came to see you. Got to tell you a story that a 93-year-old woman told me. And he'd kind of twitch his lip a little bit. And I said, 93-year-old woman said, telephone rang. Little boy says, hello. And the voice on the other end says, is your father home? Yes. May I speak to him, please? He's busy. Is your mother home? Yes. May I talk to her? She's busy too. Is there anybody else there in the house? The fire department. Well, let me talk to one of the firemen. They're busy. Is there anybody else there in the house? The police. Well, let me talk to one of the police. Well, what are they doing? They're looking for me. Now, why I told you that is for this reason. His daughter was there in the room, Regina. And she told our daughter, who was very close to the family, and Lois would sit with Dr. Fred many times when his daughter couldn't be in the room. His wife had already gone to heaven. And Regina said to our daughter Lois, Lois, the last time I heard my daddy laugh is when your daddy was in the room. That's one of the highest compliments I have ever had in my life. And, I'm glad I came tonight. Are you going to sing a song for us? You don't think so? Change your mind. We'll have a vote. How many want to hear us sing a song? Put your hand up. It's 150-1. Okay. I knew she had a song ready. She's always ready. And she can sing a song.
Man does, or anybody speaking or anything. This lady, as far as I know, is still alive. Her name is Beatrice Bush Bixler. She's in Pennsylvania, living with her daughter. As far as I know, she's deaf now, and also blind. But when I knew her back in 1960, 70, 80, she wrote music. Dr. Al Smith,
yeah.
That time period, she wrote music, and they were published in many of his books. This song has just been a real blessing to me, and I think it will be to you. It's called Let My Heart Be Broken.
Let my heart be broken for a world of broken men who in sin are wandering where no light has been. Where their eyes are blinded, where their hearts are sad, give me true compassion, such as Jesus had. Christ, whose heart was broken long ago on Calvary, let my heart be broken when I think of thee. Thy heart beats for sinners, feels their deepest need. If mine never bleeds, let my heart be broken. Oh, thou God above, thou who lovest sinners, give me Calvary love. Life is just a moment, an eternity so long. God's bidding, follow in his way.
Delighted to be here. I enjoy so much your pastor and love him and thank God for him. And the time we met about 2 or 3 years ago, I guess it was three, something like that. And we have so many things in common, and it's just good to be here and thank God for the privilege of coming. And I'm glad you're here. This is a good place to come to. It's a good place to come on the Lord's Day, all day. And it's a good place to come on prayer meeting night and for special meetings. And when you come here, you come to the right place. I'm going to tell you tonight on how to avoid becoming a missionary. So if you'll open your Bibles with me, please. To the book of John, and that's where we're going to start. And look for chapter 4, if you would, please. I've got 10 ways listed here that I avoid, and you can avoid, to becoming a missionary. I have a sermon, You Are a Missionary or a Mission Field, and I'll explain that to you a little bit later on. This is such a beautiful sight, and when you hear the scripture announced and you stand to your feet, that's great respect to God's holy word. I'm reading from John chapter 4 and verse 35. And so if you would locate that verse, John 4, 35. I'll start with 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have no meat to eat that thou know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Lord, we pray thy blessings now upon these moments together. May we learn, and not only learn, but may we be activated to the Father's business. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to give you the ways that you can avoid becoming a missionary. Some of you may be practicing those ways because there's more people here that are not missionaries tonight than are missionaries. But everybody should be a missionary. You are a missionary or a mission field. The Lord gave me that way of saying it a few years ago. You are a missionary or a mission field. Once you get saved, you're a missionary. And a missionary goes out to reach souls for Christ. And so if you're saved and you're not reaching souls for Christ, you're a mission field. Because a missionary is talking about Jesus. A missionary is telling people how to go to heaven. A missionary is inviting people to come to the house of God and to the work of God. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly what a missionary is. And so you are a missionary or you're a mission field. Now, how do I avoid becoming a missionary? Well, it's very simple. I just read the verse here, and the Bible says, lift up your eyes. And so, if you don't lift up your eyes, you know what you are? You're a mission field. You're avoiding becoming a missionary. You say, well, I can't leave my work. I can't leave my husband. I can't. Who said that you have to go across the ocean to become a missionary? Where did that come from? You know, when you get saved, whether you want to know it or not, you are a missionary. And so the Bible teaches us very plain that you are a missionary or you are a mission field. So you're a mission field when you don't lift up your eyes and look on the fields for the white under harvest. And the Bible is teaching us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. You know, we have a lot of blind Christians. They have tunnel vision. They can't see anything sometimes, but what they want to do and how they want to spend their money and how they dress and where they go, they're saved, but they got tunnel vision. That means that you're not a missionary, you're a mission field. Now, the Bible is teaching us very clearly, if you do not lift your eyes and look on the fields, you're a mission field. And then the Bible also teaches us, I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, we're told how to avoid the mission field. Matthew chapter 9, and locate, if you will, verse 33. Matthew 9, verse 33. The Bible is teaching us how to become a missionary. In verse 33, the Bible says, and when the devil cast them out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen as Israel. Verse number 36, but when they saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith unto the disciples, he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labors into his harvest. Now the way to avoid being a missionary is to pray for the Lord of the harvest. And you can avoid doing it yourself. Because, see, you're substituting prayer for what you ought to be doing. You say, how could you do that? You can pray the house down. You can come to church and pray and say wonderful things and then never talk to your next door neighbor about Jesus. And you know what you are? You're a mission field. You're not a missionary. A missionary tells people about Jesus. A missionary tells what he knows about what he learns from coming to the house of the Lord. You are a missionary or a mission field. And so, don't look on the fields which are white unto harvest. Don't look on the fields which are white unto harvest. And you can avoid being a missionary. All you have to do is just go home, go to bed, get up the next morning, go to work, don't talk to anybody about Jesus, you're avoiding being a missionary. So that means you're a missionary or a mission field. And if you're not telling people about Jesus, you're not doing the work of a child of God. He that winneth souls is wise. That's what the Bible says. And so, you are a missionary, or you are a mission field. And then, I want you to turn, if you will, please, to Matthew. Let's see, I didn't give you John 4, did I? No. John chapter 4. Yes. I already gave you that one? Okay. That's right. All right. Now, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Now, if you want to avoid being a missionary, well, attend mission conferences. And if you don't attend mission conferences, it means that they're not interested in the Lord's work, and it means you're not interested in doing God's will in your life. You know, it's so easy to give money to missions and never talk to somebody about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a substitute.
Yeah.
And it's a poor substitute for doing what God wants you to do. And I say again, there's ways to avoid becoming a missionary. You can focus on good American goals. You can give your money. You can own your home. You can drive cars. You can have security. But if you don't tell others about Jesus, you're a mission field.
Yeah.
That's a void being a missionary. And I'm not talking about going overseas. You're not avoiding it that way. You're just avoiding it by living by yourself, and you're not sharing Jesus with anybody. And so the Bible is teaching us very clearly. So if you want to continue in your ways, don't look on the mission fields. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 33 teaches us very clearly. And then verse 36, but when we saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them.
Yep.
So don't look on the fields,
yep,
because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest. And if you want to avoid being a mission field, just don't go by the Bible. Because the Bible teaches us very clearly that we are missionaries, our mission field. Now, another way to avoid being a missionary is to get married as soon as possible. Settle down. Have a good income. Marry somebody that is not going overseas. Raise a family. Get married as soon as possible, as early as you can go. And you can avoid it because you get so busy with making money, you get so busy with paying for a house, and you get so busy about making plans for the future, so busy about buying cars and getting eternal payments on those things. And if you want to avoid being called to the mission field, just follow your desire to make money and have a nice house. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can avoid being a missionary if you get caught up in that.
Yep.
Get married as soon as possible. Stay away from missionaries. Don't get close to them.
Yeah, I don't want to do
that. It may rub off on you.
Yeah.
The Bible is teaching us very clearly that we're missionaries, or we are a mission field. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 27. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. The Bible says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So if you want to avoid being a missionary, well, this is the best way to do it. Don't get a burden for souls. And don't think about spiritual values. Don't read the Bible in your home at night. And you'll avoid being a missionary. You say, well, there's no way in the world, Bobby, that I can go overseas and take my family. Missions begin outside your door.
Amen.
And people are going to hell next door, just like they go to hell from Germany or Switzerland or Italy. And we sit by and say, well, God has not called me to be a missionary. If you're saved, you're a missionary, whether you want to be or not. If you're not talking about Jesus, if you're not handing out tracts, if you're not getting on the telephone and inviting your friends to come and sit with you in a revival meeting or at church or on Sunday, there should never a week go by without you asking somebody to come with you to the house of God.
Amen.
Now, you're talking about church growth and you're talking about the way God wants it to be. When you feed good food, people are going to come around, and good food is going out from this place every single service. And all we worry about is getting there ourselves and getting the kids dressed and hurry up, we're going to be late and run all the red lights getting here. And you don't lift a finger to tell anybody about Jesus until you kind of bump into them and you say, well, I go to church over Heritage. And that's about it. You're avoiding being a missionary. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white in the harvest. You're avoiding being a missionary. And then stay away from missionaries. Don't get close to them. This is the way to avoid becoming a missionary yourself. You don't get close to these missionaries. Some of them may rub off on you. And boy, that'd be a disaster. What if you went to your wife next week and said, sweetheart, I believe the Lord is moving upon my heart to go to Japan as a missionary. You would faint and fall back in it. The Bible is teaching us how to avoid being a missionary. Stay away from missionaries. And then dream about closed countries. Just dream. Don't do anything about it. Just have dreams about those things. And then, if you want to avoid it, just dwell on your past failures. Dwell on your past failures. I want you to turn with me to John. And the Bible teaches us very clearly in verse 35. Well, we'll read a few more verses than that. Let's start with 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. This means that we ought to be more interested in talking to people about Jesus than just filling our bellies. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And if you want to avoid being a missionary, don't lift up your eyes. Keep your focus on your house. Keep your focus on your car. Keep your focus on your job. Keep your focus on shopping. Keep your focus on this town. And don't get outside of it if you want to avoid being a missionary. And this is the way you do it. If you want to avoid being a missionary, just dream about closed countries. If you want to avoid being a missionary, put all missionaries on a super pedestal. If you want to avoid being a missionary, agree with those who think that you are indispensable. If you want to avoid being a missionary, seek for a higher paying job. If you want to avoid being a missionary, have your dreams fulfilled in getting that pickup truck that you've always wanted. If you want to avoid being a missionary, dress as neatly and as fine as you can and spend a lot of time shopping. Spend a lot of time looking for deals and looking for bargains. Now, if you want to avoid being a missionary, dwell on your past failures. Put missionaries up on a pedestal. Agree with those who think they're indispensable. Have fellowship with people who make you feel good. And when the preacher preaches and something hits you square in the face, just take your little spiritual shovel and throw it over your shoulder and let somebody behind you say, "He needs it."
Yeah.
I wish she could have heard that message. Yeah. Boy, the preacher really scalded her when she was here. That's a good way to avoid being a missionary. You know, I guess to avoid being a missionary, we ought to leave our minds, our bodies, our ambitions, and our desires just about the way they are now. Just about the way they are now. After all, we support our missionaries. That's good. And you don't talk to people about Jesus yourself. That's hypocrisy. That's putting the responsibility on somebody else that the Lord puts upon us. Over and over again, I think of that verse, "He that winneth souls is wise." You say, "Well, I'm not very good at that." You know why? You never have tried it. If you want to avoid being a missionary, put all missionaries up on a pedestal. Agree with those who think they're indispensable. If you want to avoid being a missionary, worry incessantly about money. You can keep your mind off of the Lord Jesus Christ if you worry about money. I've got to work hard because I've got to make more. I've got to make more. I've got to make more. Well, quit spending so much and you won't have to make so much more. And usually what we do, we spend it for the wrong things. And then our neighbors. I'm thinking of a friend of mine who's with the Lord now, pastor of a great church. Some people came forward and trusted Christ, and he visited with him, and he says, "Can you tell me something in the message that really touched your heart?" And they said, "No." "Well, why did you come to get saved?" They said, "The dark house." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, our neighbors get in the car about the same time and they turn the lights out. And we wondered, where are they going? They do this every Sunday night. They do this every Wednesday night. And these curious neighbors wanted to know where their friends were going that lived next door to them. They said, "We're going to find out." So they got ready and they noticed their neighbors were getting ready about the same time every Sunday night, and the house left dark, and every Wednesday night and the house was dark, and they got in the car and followed the neighbors.
Amen.
They came to the church in Jacksonville, Florida. They came to the church. And the preacher gave the invitation. They came down and the preacher said to them, "Tell me what part of the sermon really touched your heart and why did you come?" He said, "Because of the dark house." He said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Our neighbors," and called their name, and they were faithful members of the church, said our neighbors were going somewhere every Wednesday night and every Sunday night, and we were just curious and wondering what they were going for. Now we know. Now, if you want to avoid being a missionary,
Come on.
Don't open your mouth.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to talk about new clothes or new cars or the weather. Now, that's a good subject. If you want to avoid being a missionary, I guess it would be best just to keep doing the same thing you're doing right now.
Yeah.
You are a missionary or you are a mission field. Just as sure as we're here tonight in this, worry incessantly about money if you want to avoid being a missionary. If you must go to the mission field, then go unprepared. Or just go over for a week or two and just be with them for a while and then come on back and you've done your duty. Everybody is not to be a missionary, but everybody must consider it. Every Christian must consider it. When the Bible says, go into all the world, that means get out of this state. That means go and tell. So the Bible is teaching us, if you want to avoid being a missionary, just don't come to mission conferences. Because the Lord may speak to your heart. And you may have to say, no, I can't do that. This is what the Bible is teaching us. What to do, how to live, and how to know what Jesus Christ is doing. Now, the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have meat to eat that thou knowest not. And there's a lot of things out there that we don't even consider because we've already shut it off. We've already got our mind set. We've got our ways set. And there's no room for the Lord to move us. You'd be surprised how many people come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and they sit and daydream about what they're going to do on the afternoon rather than the message. They avoid being missionaries. You don't have to go overseas to be a missionary. All you have to do is just walk across the street. And approximately one house out of every 10 or 15 that you surround and are surrounding you needs Jesus.
Yes.
Now the Bible is teaching us how to live and what to do. We're not showing any compassion. We're going to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they're good or bad. We're lacking conviction. We're lacking in the Bible. We're lacking in our Bible reading. It's very hard sometimes to just stay with the Bible. Moms and dads, gather your children around you.
Amen.
Every night. They say, well, they go to sleep. Well, hold them in your arms while you're praying.
Amen.
Talk to them about Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody that's saved is one of two things. If you're saved, you are in one of two classes tonight. You are a missionary. Or you are a mission field. And so you must consider that. The Word of God is teaching us very clearly how to talk to people about Jesus. Ye must be born again. Carry the message. Let people know. Go to your next door neighbor and say, I've come to make an apology. What do you mean? What, you don't have anything to follow? Yes, I do, too. Yeah. We've lived together for upteen number of years, whatever it is, next door to one another. And I have never opened my mouth to talk to you about the one who has saved me and the one that's taken me to heaven. And I want you to forgive me that wrong. And I want you to know God loves you. And I want you to know He's spoken to me because I failed you. I should have told you a long time ago. You want a neighbor to, they may drop dead. So you better ease it out when you say it. Because our neighbors know us pretty well, don't they? The black house, the dark house. Are your lights out every Sunday night? Does your neighbor know why they're out? They may not know it. Just go over and say, you know something? We've lived together for years. And do you want to know why my light is out on... I should have told you this a long time ago, but do you know why my lights are out at my house on Sunday night? No, he wonders where it was. Well, we go to church. We go up to Heritage. Oh, well, we wondered what you did. You've been good neighbors, but you never told us this. Well, I'm ashamed of myself. But I want you to know that Jesus is my Savior. And I want you to forgive me for not telling you this earlier. And some of you have lived by people for 10 years and you've never opened your mouth about Jesus. Not to me, everybody. But this is God's way to avoid becoming a missionary. That's your way. God tells us that you are avoiding becoming a missionary because of what you're doing. And He's disappointed in you. And this is the truthful way. We need to realize that we are representatives for the only true hope of anybody has of going to heaven. That's it. And I don't know how many of us tonight in this auditorium are surrounded by people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're surrounded by people that have never heard the gospel. And it's about time that we realized that we are missionaries, or we are a mission field. So don't attend any missionary conferences if you want to avoid being a missionary. And don't look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And don't lift up your eyes. Just keep doing what you're doing. You can avoid it. But I must remind all of us, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be our judge. If you're saved, that's the judgment seat of Christ. The white throne judgment will be heard. Depart from me, ye cursed, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. We got a judgment to face. Now let's stop avoiding being missionaries. What do you say? Let's start being missionaries. And let's start giving some testimonies, some reports about some neighbors. At least coming to this place. I would start to guess how many people could be affected if everybody in this auditorium would spend this next week touching 5 houses. Can you imagine? You'll be doing God's will. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And so we don't want to be a bunch of dumb Christians running around. If you want to avoid being a missionary, just take everything I said with a dose of salt and get rid of all of it. But this is the Bible. Come on, me, all you that weary and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And the best way to rest is knowing that you're functioning in the will of God. You're doing what God wants you to do. And so I remind you of 2 things. You are a missionary, our mission field. And you are responsible to the Lord for everything you do. we must give an account of the things done in our body, whether they've been what? Good or bad. Our Father, thank Thee for loving us. We pray now that the service will be used of God to speak to each one of us individually. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless. I'm going to ask the pastor to come and take the service from here.
Father, help us not to let this moment that we've been in tonight, the thought of being missionaries, to leave us. Lord, if we do not do it, no one else will. Oh God, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and our lives. Folks, while you're sitting there in that seat and thinking about it, I know the time. I understand that. But I wish you'd right there think of someone that God is really leading in your heart about telling them about Jesus Christ. And mark it down. And say, you know, this is the person I'm going to speak to this week. My neighbor, my friend. I'm thinking of my neighbor right now. I've had opportunities, but boy, I just seem like I can't set the hook with him and his wife. But we've been making progress lately. In fact, he came over, his wife came over and helped me with Marcia the other day. And I'll tell you what, it's close. So pray for them. Pray for your neighbors. Father in heaven, I pray tonight, as we think of those who are around us, that surround us, Lord, that we would be that missionary that You have called us to do. And Lord, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the usher to come quickly, fellas. We'll take an offering for Brother Brown. We thank God for him. Brother Brown, how old are you? Can you tell me that? Would you tell me that? 29? That's right. And so we need to be honor these who have given their life to the Lord for all these years. Ushers, come forward this time, please. I hope you'll be free to give tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I ask You tonight that You would certainly speak to our heart and our life. Speak to us now, Lord, as we give. There'd be a blessing and help and encouragement to this dear family. Almost 82 years old, preaching the Word of God, standing before the pulpit night after night after night after night. Dear God, few men ever get to do this. And Lord, here's one that we have the privilege of listening to tonight. Lord, please help us as we give. In Jesus' name, amen.